Holistic Herbal Healing, The Assistance of Living Plants in Healing Ways by Frank Cook. Dedicated to the living memory of Autumn Mere Grace, 1989 to 1997. You are not forgotten, little sister. Introduction. The awareness of our relationship to plants and nature in general continues to expand internationally. This is not surprising. The American Indian, Chief Seattle, said that man did not weave the web of life, he is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the strand, he does to himself. Though these words are over 100 years old, they still ring with truth. The computer technology, international business endeavors, and the mass media have all contributed to the realization that we exist in one physical world. Of all possible worlds, you've only got one. You better rise above it. The polluting of earth, water, fire, air, along with the pollution from electromagnetic energy and noise, have made us more aware of the limitations of our existence here. Plants have provided our basic needs for millennia. It has only been relatively recently that we have replaced plants with synthetic products made in laboratories. This can clearly be seen in all ways of life: food, shelter, clothing, medicine. In the health aspects of a person's life, allopathic medicine using the tools of surgical technology and pharmaceutical drugs have largely replaced traditional healing methods as the source of primary health care within the Western world. Within the third world, two-thirds world, there is still a reliance on traditional health care. But this is steadily being encroached upon as drug companies seek new markets. This is truly unfortunate in that though allopathic medicine has a place in the spectrum of healthcare options, it is seldom the first approach someone should take. For a multitude of reasons, largely from an economic perspective, people have become ignorant, fearful, and misinformed about different approaches to health. They have lost touch with their own inner wisdom of what their body needs, but that is changing. An eclectic medicine is developing for the global village of Earth. This eclectic medicine is just beginning to develop an identity by experimenting with the old and the new to find ways that can best heal the world of today. These ways represent a broad base of philosophies, models of the body and universe, medicines, and healing methods. But its formation is still young, vulnerable, and fragile. To nurture its growth to a healthy foundation for the future healing of the planet and the beings here, we who are actively participating in its formation need to stay balanced and healthy. We must stay clear of greed, selfishness, and exploitation. This brings us back to plants. Many of the medicines and healing methods involve plants. Much energy in the growth of a global healing system has come from medicines, specifically medicines from herbs being sold as products. International corporations have come to see the world market as ripe consumers of herbal products. If we are not careful and clear about how much emphasis to put on this, what guidelines, parameters, and restrictions are needed, the fate of the plant families will be dire. Many species will be harvested to extinction. We must protect the plant kingdom as well as the workers who harvest the plants. One approach to balance this focus on selling products is to emphasize the many powerful healing ways that have no products involved. These products use various techniques, recommended changes in lifestyle and food choices, and/or education and self-responsibility for one's health. As far as plants are concerned, though, their physical constituents are important. Though their physical constituents are important contributions to natural medicine, they have much healing to contribute as living, sentient beings. Plants are healers. There are many techniques and methods in which living plants can be of aid to an individual's health. This booklet will introduce you to many of these methods. If we can incorporate some of these techniques into our lives, we will use less tinctures, powders, oils, pills, products that may require the life of plants. If we use less medicine, there will be more for others, time for the plants to reestablish themselves, and de-emphasis on products in general. they will more likely be there if we truly do need them. For there to be a global healing system, we need to each expand our knowledge about healing systems worldwide and begin experimenting with them. A broad-based source of healing ways is the way to a healthy global village. We must face the challenge of broadening our belief systems. If we can find the courage to open up and try new ways, we can come to appreciate the axiom, a change in worldview is a change in world viewed. I know the plants would appreciate it. They are struggling to live, to be respected and honored. There's a long road ahead and many challenges. If we can keep faith and hope alive, everything is possible. Part 1. Plant Spirit Medicine. Few who have taken the time to look at the world about them would fail to notice the plight and suffering of humankind. We have set up systems which we have become slaves to. In the name of economics, security, and material gain, we have isolated ourselves from each other and the world around us. We have become ignorant to the ways and magic of life. The only way back to balance is through change. Change in a personal, profound way that puts into action the wisdom we have heard but not listened to throughout our lives. The plants are there waiting. We just have to look to see. Plants are not simply here for our use. They are vibrant, intelligent, living beings that can be great teachers for us, but we have to see them first. There are certain false precepts that have led us down this path toward extinction. We each need to explore these false programs that have been put into us. One of them is that the world and everything in it is ours for the taking. We are but a part of the world. As we receive what we need, we should do so with reverence and humility. If we continue to take unconsciously, there will before long be nothing left. Many of us remain ignorant of where the goods we consume, be it food, clothing, supplies, etc., come from. That needs to change. We need to be aware, to wake up. The world needs us to wake up. It is crying out for our birth into awareness and connection. Get to know the plants that grow around you. Their living energy is healing medicine. Introduce others to their presence. Let them meet the living spirits of plants. A community is not only the people living there. The plants and animals need to be restored to a position of respect as members of the community. For indeed, without them, there would be no community. Take the time to digest that. Without the plants and animals, there would be no community. You and yours would perish. We have to stop taking from the plant and animal kingdoms in an unconnected, selfish way. Allow the plant spirit medicine to well up in you. Become an ally of the plants you meet. Know their names. Grow to understand their lives. Celebrate their flowers and fruits. Remember them in their deaths. Learn how to have an intimate, real relationship with them, and they can teach you the error of your ways and the path back to truly living. It's a choice we each must make, a choice we make each day of our lives when we decide what to do with our time and energy. For your sake, for the sake of the children, for the survival of the next 7 generations, choose to reach out and connect with the whole community around you. Walking in a garden. What is a garden? There are many kinds: flower gardens, herb gardens, vegetable gardens, sculpture gardens, sacred gardens, wild plant gardens, and gardens with plants from other cultures, for example, Japanese gardens or Ayurvedic medical gardens. And leave it to the Japanese to stretch the concept to even rock gardens. Gardens come in all shapes and sizes, from potted plants to aquatic plants, from monocultures in rows to diverse ecosystems in open fields. Some are highly maintained with greenhouses, sculptured plants, and plant labels telling you names, uses, history. Others are very low maintenance, toss seeds out the back door. They almost always involve plants, and that's what we'll limit our discussion to. All gardens share at least one aspect, and that is the human presence. Gardens are a delineated area of land created for some purpose, food, medicine, aesthetics, healing space, etc., which are taken care of by humans to satisfy their needs. Upon entering a garden, you may feel several things. It will be evident what the health and balance is between the humans and caretaking the land, and the natural forces which exist there as the source of magic and energy that bring forth life. How healthy is this balance? How controlled is the garden? How much time and energy are the humans contributing? What is the intention behind the creation and maintenance of the garden? What can you say about the humans who caretake the garden? These questions and many others present themselves to you upon your entering the garden. And the amazing thing is, these insights arise naturally because the garden is a living entity, and upon entering one, you have begun a relationship with it. The garden exists because of humans, and so the energy in the garden, the personality you encounter, will have a very real impact and impression on you if you become conscious of it. Walking in a sacred garden. When physically walking into a well-kept garden, it is self-evident that you are in a healing space. This is especially true in organic ritual garden spaces. What I may mean by a ritual garden is an area of land that is caretaken by humans where a diverse array of plants is grown in a harmonious ecosystem. In this space, people come together for various reasons. But an emphasis is put on honoring our place as individuals, as communities, as a species within the web of life. Just being in that space is powerful healing. But to participate in a healing gathering or a planned personal healing retreat is life-altering. You are changed by the event. For some people, it's a radical shift. For others, especially for those who have participated in many such experiences, it is yet another step in their personal evolution. When entering a garden, there is nothing that one has to do to participate in healing. Healing occurs naturally. It's getting there that sometimes challenges people. Taking time out from one's normal routine to go to a garden can be surprisingly difficult, but find a way to do it. When you are there, take the time to look, listen, smell, feel, and taste the different plants. Breathe the air. Look at the animals about. Take off your shoes. Have a picnic. Leave an offering. Take a nap. Go for a walk. Do what you want to do. Meditate, exercise, relax. By simply being in the garden, healing is taking place. Recognize how a garden is different than the woods. Notice how humans, as caretakers, leave a mark. The arrangement of the flower beds, the stonework, the wooden bench, a spring house, the color of the plants arranged. Meeting the caretakers tells you a lot about a garden. In the same way, a garden tells you a lot about the caretakers. All gardens are sacred. Seek them out. You, of course, can look at the Earth Gaia as a giant garden, and you as one of its many caretakers. How does that feel? A responsibility we all share. So it is. May these words, if they do nothing more, encourage you to enter a garden today. Working in a garden. The healing relationship one has with a garden can be a very passive one, where you predominantly receive energy from the garden space. And this is okay. Gardens, by their very nature, tap into the infinite energy of the universe, of which you are a part. Gardens act as a wonderful conduit from which you can become healthy and maintain health. Not to be overly redundant, I want to stress that I am not talking about just the food, medicine, flowers that one can harvest from a garden. That certainly exists, but there is also a small vortex, of a concentrated energy field, that you enter upon going into a garden, that envelops your energy pores, that dances with you, being changed by your presence and changing you by its existence. Feeling that is part of the path to healing. It's a matter of working up to it. becoming sensitive to its existence. I will not say what the limits to this are, for I do not know them, but let me just say it's further than you've gone so far. It can be described by smells or colors or sights, but it's more, still more. One way to increase this awareness, to deepen this relationship, is to put time and energy into the garden. By consciously showing up to plant, weed, water, harvest, you are reaching out to the energies that exist there and are taking some responsibility for the existence of the garden. Over time, it will rely on you to be there, and you will begin to see yourself manifesting within the garden. It is a mirror of the caretakers nurtured by nature. Try it, you will feel it. Hold those young seeds in your hands. Help bring them to life. Mix your hands and feet with the soil. Build a stone wall or path. Feel a storm coming. Stand out there in the rain. Take in the sunshine on a clear morning. Work while the dew evaporates as the morning turns to day. Work in a garden, and a garden will work in you. Replanting the land. For those of you who have taken on the responsibility of caring for land, there is much work to do to help it return to balance from the abuses of domestic animal grazing, destructive timbering, clear cuts for farmland, toxic waste dumping, mining, and other atrocities. To begin with, walk your land, experience its history, get to know what is flourishing there. Live as close to the land as you comfortably can for at least 1 year. Know it in its abundant time. Know it in its dormancy. With any building you do for your living space, honor your land and the beings that live on it. Be especially aware of waste recycling, water resources, sun energy, and areas to grow food. When you have gotten to know your land well, visit the best preserved forest area in your bioregion. Walk it. See what's there. Notice what plants are also on your land. Notice those that are different. Research from old transcripts what used to be present on the land. Search out seed and plant sources in your area. Herbalists, farmers, and naturalists may collect seeds or know sources to obtain them. In the autumn time, gather abundant seeds that plants in your bioregion are providing. Begin to grow plants on your land and return the piece of earth you're stewarding to the vibrant, diverse community it once was, a community you are a valuable part of. A jaunt in the woods. Should you be fortunate enough to enter virgin forest, woods that have never been cut down, which is quite rare. In the United States, there is less than 1% virgin forests. You would realize how markedly different it feels than a garden. It is nature matured, dense ecosystems, diverse communities. I'm struck each time by how everything seems bigger, and there is a humming, a vibratory aliveness that combines a complex syncopation of sounds and rhythms. This occurs to varying degrees in all forests I enter. It's a humbling feeling to realize that we are but one strand in the web of life. The forest is a constant reminder that the world would go on quite happily without our particular species running rampant. In the complex, seemingly independent beauty of the forest, one can also see the temptation to master it, to exploit its resources, to use its energy towards our own gain. For even in these pockets of woods that remained, the energy feels immense, infinite, inexhaustible. I would say that feeling is valid, but for that energy to manifest as forest communities, it takes time and a balanced, supportive environment. If we've learned anything from these past 200 years, may it be that we do have a role to play as long as we're here. And that role, when stepped out of, takes the whole reality out of step. What role is that? To be caretakers of the earth. We can see how well we live that role by how healthy the forest and other ecosystems are around the earth. One of the biggest challenges of that role is to realize that we may not have to do anything to the woods or take anything from them. We instead need to focus on balancing our needs with maintaining a healthy web of life. We need to remember the lessons of thousands of years of interacting with the woods. When those memories are recalled, we must then teach them to others. If we can stay in balance, then everything will. In the United States, the motto for the National Forest is a land of many uses. This gets to the core of our imbalance. A forest is not a garden in the sense that it does not need to be controlled by humans. It's instead a reminder of the world's own wonderful capacities. Our presence in the woods, any woods, is best seen as unobtrusive, receiving what we need, quietly dancing with the harmony of the forest's rhythm. In a garden, it is the human who tinkers with and dictates much of the rhythm. In the forest, it is nature. So a forest venturer is best in a passive role, watching, adjusting, receiving. Some would say this is good advice for a gardener also. I am well acquainted with American ginseng in the Appalachian Mountains. Humans benefit by receiving this plant in their lives. So that it will always be here, we need a sustainable, healthy relationship. A culture around ginseng has survived, which is thousands of years old. It is in the living teachings from our ancestors, which we need to practice ourselves and teach our family. This ginseng culture, with its myths, anecdotes, stories, and lessons, balances the tendency to exploit the ginseng. That may be one of our greatest tasks, self-control. Teaching future generations of foresters moderation, balance, and healthy ways. Teaching what is appropriate and what is not. Concerning ginseng, one should only gather plants more than 10 years old. There's a way to tell this. The plant should not be wildcrafted until autumn, after it has dropped its berries. Any berries found should be buried near the plant harvested. These lessons all ensure that ginseng maintains a healthy balance, so it will always be there for future generations and as a member of a community in its own right. These same principles can be applied to all our interactions with woods as we take care of ourselves and our family and our place within the woods. Just as there is a ginseng culture to learn and share, there is an oak culture, a black cohosh culture, a cannabis culture. There is a culture for each strand in the web, as well as the macrocosm lessons of the whole web. Learning these lessons and putting them to practice and sharing them is what we're here to do. It's a full-time job, a way of life, a path to the continued existence of our spaces within the web. It's a radically different direction than corporations, new world orders, profit-oriented, mass-produced products, with people being a cog in the machine. It is a way to develop the entire human being rather than exploiting some aspect of being human in exchange for goods and a promise of security. It's up to each one of us to decide which way we want to go. But to decide in the woods. First, learn from the gardens, visit them, heal with them, work in them. Open yourself, take some risks. Create relationships with plants in your own unique way. Then go into the woods. It's probably true that the woods you are entering are less than 100 years old, cut down previously for timber or to clear a field. Marvel at nature's power to rejuvenate itself. Imagine what it would be like in 1,000 years if unchecked. These wild plants about you grew here because this is where they wanted to be. Notice the different communities along the streams, in the fields, along the paths. Venture further into the woods. Get off the path. Let the plants communicate with you. Take in their colors, their energy, their texture. Hug a tree. Find an old tree and wrap yourself fully around it. Close your eyes, breathe, feel its skin and yours touching. Ask it to tell you a story, and then listen. Splash water on yourself. Find a clean spring. Splash your face and your body. Rinse your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth. Then have a ritual. Bring in the power of your beliefs. Slow down. Release your roles in the outside world. Let the forest in. It's your elder. It has lessons to teach you. Now you decide. Not with your mind. Bring in your heart, your feelings. Honor your fears and your desires. Recognize being right here now. Decide what path you, as a human being, wish to take. Say it out loud. Create a phrase that you can repeat daily to remind you of what path you wish to walk, and say it to yourself often. Then visit the woods often. The woods are the constant, quiet reminder of why we're here. The consequences of our actions, the significance and insignificance of the individual, the infinite depth and vastness of the web of life. It can all be found in the woods. Visit forests wherever you go, and take the time to get off the trail and revisit your own center. As long as there are humans, there will be forests. Have confidence in that. We have choices to make individually and collectively. The sooner you make your choice, the sooner you can get on with walking the path the choices dictate. Come to appreciate any fears you feel in the woods. Honor them. Come to see them as powerful motivators and allies. Destroying the forests or allowing their destruction will not destroy the fears. Accept the fears, and the forests will open up before you as a teacher, sustainer, ally, and friend. Everyone feels fears. Learn from each other. Listen to the old stories. Keep alive the old lessons. Each species in the web of life has a purpose, a place, a talent. We have a cerebral cortex, a brain. Why has the universe in all its splendor, magic, and diversity gifted us with this talent? With our brain, we have the potential to appreciate the splendor. We can look at the universe and say, wow, isn't this all incredible? What a magical unfolding. We can see patterns. We can reflect, experience, and wonder. Feel ecstasy and joy. We can create and appreciate beauty. We may help to give the universe a reason to be. We may be a mirror for the universe to experience its own wonderment. And maybe that's our goal as a species, to reflect the wonder at the marvels of the universe. But to get there, we need to remember, learn, and teach the lessons of our ancestors so we can go beyond simply surviving. Instead, we can thrive. We have the collective capacity to end suffering. Instead, make life a journey of consciousness, expanding into the wonders and marvels of life. It is up to us. Go into the woods. Go beyond our individual needs and fears and desires. Find the security of collective harmony. The woods, in all its bounty and glory, can teach us that. Cultivate that inside yourself in your own inner forests and gardens, and you will provide the spark and courage for others to follow. Part 2. Plants as healers. When one begins to look out beyond one's immediate world, she or he begins to sense the infiniteness of everything. This can be scary, and at times one may wish to climb back into the safety and comfort of the womb. But we have each chosen to be born, to feel all that life puts before us. We, thankfully, are not alone in this journey. There's the comforts of our own kind, our human family, with all its challenges and attributes. but there's a limitation to only seeking support from humans. When entering a forest, I am always struck by how calm and still it is, and yet knowing that immense changes are taking place each season, each day. It is here in the woods that I look for and find support for being alive. There is a quiet, immense wisdom in the forest. It knows who I am, where I've been, where I'm going, and though the woods comfort me, it is far too complex for me to grasp. I lie on its floor, watching the busy ants move about. I turn over and take in the enormous swaying trees. Fortunately, there are the plants. Plants are the envoys of the forest, its bodily manifestation. I have come to know some of them personally. Plants are alive. They are different from you and me, but living beings nonetheless. They are within their collective consciousness, a memory of all the ways we have used them in our survival. They can help us, and do help us every day. If we can, as a civilization, grow to appreciate plants, to honor them as members of our community, much of our suffering will come to an end. It begins by slowing down to a plant's speed, sitting with them and taking them in every day. Remembering them as we eat, take medicine, or use them in the thousands of ways that we do. Plants, as living beings, can be wonderful healers and teachers. Befriend them, and you will never know loneliness. It is an important step to take, beginning to recognize the plants who are in your daily life. There's an old saying that the plants you need most grow out your back door. Do you know what plants grow out your back door? Start there. It's time to move beyond the illusion of the human-centered universe. Honor the plants, and they will be there when you need them. Studying plants. To discover the healing ways of plants, one begins with personal interactions and experimentation. Over time, a relationship develops. The healing comes from that relationship. An additional way, not as a substitute, but to augment one's growing relationship with plants, is to study them in books and with teachers. The world of plant knowledge is vast, enough for lifetimes of explorations. For example, one can get to know that a beautiful yellowed flowered plant blooms in the spring with toothed green leaves. By learning this plant, you may discover its name to be dandelion, its scientific name to be Taraxacum officinale. You may learn it comes from the family of composites, the sunflower family. You could learn how dandelion has been used in healing for millennia. Maybe you will try some of these healing ways in your life. By watching throughout the year, you would discover its life cycle, where it likes to live, what community it lives in, and its relationship to the other plants. Knowing all this, like knowing any beings, brings you closer to them. Anywhere I go, I know some of the plants. It's hard to describe the feeling, but I never feel alone. Everywhere I go, I have friends and allies around me. Having these relationships broadens my world and keeps me in touch with nature, the earth, and my place in it. But I cannot stress enough that knowing a plant vicariously, only through books, is not knowing a plant. And any more than reading a biography is as deep and rich as spending time with that person. Teachers can be wonderful aids in getting to know plants. They can act as a go-between, introducing you to plants and sharing with you some of their stories. An hour walk with a good teacher can be more fulfilling than a library of books. My wish for you is to meet the plants and learn all you can about them. Start with the ones in the backyard. Get to know all of them and then spread out from there. The more effort you make to know the plants, the more they will reveal to you. Be patient. It's a bit of magic you can only feel from experience.